OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, so OBM can tackle any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Another rough one for the Browns yesterday, 17-13. They lose to the Panthers, their fourth loss in a row, dropping them to 7-8 on the season. We go now to the Ohio Business Machines hotline to bring in three-time Super Bowl champion Gerard Cherry. Gerard, what is ailing this team?
Combination of things, man. One is uncertainty, and I heard you guys earlier talk about the whole confidence factor. That plays a key part in it. When you don't know who your quarterback is, who's the leader of the offense, you're going to have those issues and problems. But also, too, you have a lot of young players who hit a wall at the wrong time. Obviously, when you're in a playoff hunt, it's not the time for rookies to do what typically rookies do. So you have that going on. Then you have to just question just the level of professionalism with this football team as well. So that's where I would start, and that's where I would finish.
Gerard, I asked a similar question to Jim Donovan earlier when you had him on. What do you need to see out of this football team against Baltimore, in Baltimore, that leaves you hope that things are still, as we have a feel for this football season, that things are headed in the right direction?
Oh, I need to see Scott Solomon effort out of everybody. That's what I need to see. And I need to see Travis Benjamin type of effort. If it's a fumble takes place or interception, you do something necessary to force a fumble. This is what you want to see. Last game of the year where nothing's on the line per se from a playoff standpoint, but what is on the line is whether or not you deserve to be in a National Football League and if you can play like a Cleveland Brown when it doesn't matter. And that's what I want to see. Which one of these guys on this football team will go out there and give it their all, play with heart, play with attitude, and play with integrity, knowing that, hey, only thing that's in the balance is something that's very important, which is their livelihood.
Gerard, let me ask you this question. Going off that note, do the Browns need a new number one receiver? Or you think Josh Gordon's your guy going forward? Knowing what you've come from, can you trust him to be your number one?
I have to be frank and real with you and say, no, you can't trust him. There's going to be another offseason taking place where things typically go awry with Josh Gordon. And on top of that, just considering what we've seen on the playing field, right. You can't trust that as well. I understand Josh is coming back from a 10-game hiatus because he was out. But the thing that bothered me most, Joe, and I'm pretty sure it didn't sit well with you as well, is that quitting on plays and not knowing what to do. You had nothing but ample amount of time to study this football team while you were sitting out there. There is no excuse for quitting. There is no excuse for not knowing where to be. I just can't endorse that. So I would say, yeah, you have to consider strongly a new number one wide receiver.
Gerard, Pierre Desir got the start and I thought looked very good against Kelvin Benjamin. They tested him a lot. In fact, the only completions he had good coverage were just amazing throws and catches. What did you see from the young rookie cornerback?
Encouraged once again. Young guy getting in the heat of the moment. Yeah, he got beat, but he wasn't beaten. There's a difference. If a guy's not on the screen, he doesn't stand a chance. And in to Pierre's defense, yeah, he got balls caught on him, but he was there. He could at least make a play for the ball. They're going to catch passes, and with the way the rules are now, credit him for not getting more INTs, pass interference calls thrown his way as well. So I'm encouraged. Great things are taking place in that secondary, and that is the strength right now of this defense.
Gerard, again, as you just referenced to Josh Gordon and his decision-making, are you concerned about this offseason for a few players on this Browns roster, Johnny Manziel being one of them, Josh Gordon being another, I think Terrence West, Justin Gilbert, a lot of guys have to take some significant steps towards securing their position as a Brown and also, too, towards the future of being a Brown. So does that concern you moving forward?
Oh, it certainly does, because those names you just thrown out there are key parts of this football team. They're young, and obviously they're impressionable, and they haven't learned yet what it means to be a professional because of the mistakes that they have made. And you would like to say, well, you don't want to hold against young guys because they're going to make mistakes, and we all do. I'm guilty of them. You guys are guilty of them as well. But here's the thing, especially for Johnny's case. If I see anything, and if I was in a position of Ray Farmer and Mike Pettin that resembled this past offseason on Johnny Manziel, where there's swans, there's money phones, there's rolled up bills inside of a nightclub bathroom, I'm going to have to strongly consider whether or not I can trust this guy and give him the chance to come back and prove himself. Because if I do see that, I'm not going to trust this guy, and I don't think he's serious about being the quarterback of my football team.
Let me ask you this question. Going into the Baltimore game, so we've said we're lacking firepower. We've got no confidence in the quarterbacks right now. How do you go into a game, play against the Baltimore Ravens? What do you do offensively? Put yourself in, as an offensive coordinator. What do you do to add life? Do we go into the playground and start playing, you know, Hail Mary this and Statue of Liberty this? What do you do to go against a team that's always played as tough, that's also fighting for a playoff spot?
I am going to be so ultra-aggressive, Joe, in that this past Sunday, we saw pretty much how we would like to play games. Keep a field position type of approach. Don't make any mistakes. Be safe with the football. Let's go vertical. Let's air it out. What do we have to lose? Let's see if we can get some connections on the vertical game and get some things going our way. Because obviously, trying to beat ball control with the passing game has not worked. So why not try something different just to throw it out there to see? But I'm going to be ultra-aggressive, take all the chances in the world, and really put Baltimore on the edge and send a message that, hey, we may be out of it, but we want to win at least split with every team in this division this season.
It certainly is important. One thing, obviously, it's been a huge topic of discussion is Johnny. Do you think you've seen enough to know one way or the other that Johnny Manziel can or cannot play in this league?
I've seen enough to know right now he can't play in this league. I can tell you that much, but I do think you have to bring him back to see what the things I just spoke about. Will he be the guy in the weight room? Will he be, excuse the weight room, that's secondary. Will he be the guy in the classroom? Forget about the weight room for a quarterback right now. I need a buff quarterback. I need a guy that knows what's going on the football field. So if he can be the guy studying, and I mean come January 1st, I'm not talking about in March when off-season workouts and OTAs and all that stuff begins. I'm talking about January 1st. Is he applying himself to learn how to play the game so he can have an idea of what's going on pre- and post-snap, just to give himself a start? Because if it's going to be that thing again of, okay, I'm going to live my life and do what I want to do, I hear that, I'm letting you go.
Gerard, thanks as always. Happy holidays to you, brother.
Take care, guys. Happy holidays to you guys as well.
Same to you, man.
All right, that was Gerard Cherry on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. We're going to wrap things up with a couple calls and then our final thoughts. Mike in California, welcome to CBD.
Hey, you guys. Thanks very much for taking my call.
You got it.
Thank you.
Yeah, born and raised in Cleveland, left when I was 12, but I remember sitting at the table with my dad, and he played Sandlot at Latin Field for years, talking to me about going to St. Ignatius. You know, it's kind of funny. There are a couple points. I don't think Kyle Shanahan has the creativity or the strategy that I see other offenses have. There's no safety net for Brian. He's out there looking down the field a lot. You can see him looking for his reads, and there's no halfback coming out of the backfield to dump it off to. And then the second point I want you guys to ponder, what makes a good quarterback? You got a six-round pick, I think, with Tom Brady, and he's one of the best ever. How does that happen?
Yeah, I'll start the first one. I think we've all kind of been bemoaning the lack of involvement and utilization of the running backs in the passing game. I think that's a weapon that can slow down a pass rush very effectively, the screen game, the outlet receivers. It does not seem to be incorporated very much into this offense.
No, it's not, and it's very frustrating. And again, if you're a football fan and you watch other successful teams play the game, they're doing it. They're incorporating the screen. How do you slow down a pass rush? You know, if you have a center who's kind of leaky like we have been since we've lost Alex Mack, how do you fix that? You put them in scenarios to win. You give them situations to succeed, and that's slowing up that rush by getting screen passes or dump passes or three-step drops, things of that sort that build confidence for your offense, build confidence for your quarterback, and more so than anything, move the chains, which is something that we've struggled to do in the last two football games.
And I'm going to take on the Tom Brady question. Tom Brady played behind a guy named Drew Bledsoe, professional. If you look at everybody that was on that New England staff, they were all professional. Guys took care of their jobs. So Tom Brady had something to learn from as soon as he stepped foot in New England. I think it's an easier transition when you have a guy that was a perennial all pro bowler. You've got a bunch of guys on that defense, to Willie McGinnis, to Brewskis, all the way on down the line, the Troy Browns, guys that did things the right way every day, not only on Sunday, but every day, including their off day. So I think it's an easier transition. and you start to pick things up that this is the way it needs to be done. Here, so many rookies, not enough veterans, especially on the offensive side of the ball, for these guys to say, oh, this is how it needs to be done. So I think it's an easy – I think it's really easy. Gerard talked about it. We've been beating it. We've been beating the dead horse right now, that the only way this thing gets changed is if the young guys take the onus upon themselves to be the guys and do it professionally. That's how this thing gets changed. If you don't, like Gerard said, bye-bye.
You can just drift off here on a five-game losing streak, end the season. Some will be back, some will not. Mark in Myrtle Beach, welcome to the show.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Oh, just living the dream, man.
Good.
You're on a beach.
That gave me yesterday. And the one thing I keep going back to when I look at all these games is it all begins and ends with the offensive line. You know, I mean, it was amazing what a great quarterback Brian Hoyer was and what an offensive genius Kyle Shanahan was before Alex Mack went down. And you could point to when Pouncey went down for the Steelers, they missed the playoffs. It all begins and ends in the trenches. Our defensive line has been decimated with injuries. Now we can't stop the run. And you give Brian Hoyer or Manziel or whoever's back there running backs that can run through holes that are actually there. Yesterday was incredible. All they did was they just bull rushed up the middle and blew up every play before it even had a chance to get going.
The Browns on their fourth center of the season, Nick McDonald his second go around. And yeah, when you watched tape yesterday, it was rough. The interior of the line, a lot of penetration there. Crow was in the backfield a lot, sacks. It when Alex Mack clearly made a huge deal, a difference. This team averaged more than 4 yards a carry in four of the five games with Alex Mack, once in the 10 games without him. It's massive.
The reality of this whole thing is, yes, your offensive line, if you're as good as your offensive line, but now that we've seen maybe a few holes, they're going to have to make changes there, and that's just part of it. You've got to deal with injuries. You've got to have quality people to come in and back up, and it's, you know, we've seen it sporadically, but you're only as good. And obviously when Alex went down, it was detrimental for us, no questions asked. But I think that what we've seen now, this from the last half of the season, we've seen some changes that have to be made. Every team goes through it. We'll have to kind of bolster up the offensive line so that we have quality number twos from the guard, the center, tackles. We've got guys that are going to be able to step in and do that thing. But, again, not many things. There's a lot of things that take away positive this year, but it just every time you lose, man, it's like the Dog Bowl right now. I mean, you're dejected. It's hard to be fun, man. Winning cures all.
And what's tough for me, though, to fathom this deep into the season with with Kyle Shanahan as an experienced offensive coordinator, of course, growing up, below his father, is this isn't the first time that a team has lost a Pro Bowl center, you know, but it has gone on and their season has had a significant drop off. And in my eye, there's a recipe to fix it. And I think it's bigger than just one guy in one position. And it's your play calling. It's the coaching. It's the extra hours that everybody puts in, because it takes everybody to succeed. The same way that Johnny went out and you could point a finger at Johnny last week, but yet everybody, you know what, it down their leg last week against Cincinnati for it to look that bad. So it's bigger than just one person. And I think it's tough to me that there's no fix, because in my mind there's a list of five things that I would do offensively to move the football and get a first down, which in once you get one, it makes the second one easier, and so on and so forth. And that's the one thing that's beating me up. And I think in some cases it's the players on the field that are playing, but of course it's the blind leading the blind sometimes, that if the coaches don't open their eyes to make changes, the players have nothing to do but to go out there and fail.
Hopefully they can turn that around. One more shot to do so this Sunday against Baltimore. I want to thank everybody for being with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Thanks to Gerard Cherry and Jim Donovan for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow, hand out some grades, and continue this holiday week, shortened week. We're just on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday here on CBD as the Browns prepare for their season finale this Sunday. For Matt Wilhelm and Joe Jurevicius, I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys, and thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.